Welcome inside another edition of the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard, one of your hosts from over at FanRag Sports, and with me today is one of the more special human beings and one of the more esteemed doctors that this show has ever had on the program. Joining me for the 85th time, Trevor Sikkema, my co-host from PewterReport.com, where he covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
You gonna plug in like the? Like
I think
the
this is your 85th podcast.
You gonna plug in like the studio applause right there? Like
I when should, you, yeah.
Officially announce my name.
That's yeah, go should. Back in.
You
edit
probably
it.
Think that I'm a crazy egomaniac because of the last couple episodes. And like, to be honest, guys, that couldn't be closer to the truth. Yeah. I definitely am.
I agree. So there you go. It's pretty much why I decided to introduce you that way. Got to appease the ego right off the bat. This Monday edition of Locked On NFL Draft. Oh, it's Tuesday. What am I saying? It's Tuesday edition. Tuesday edition of Locked On NFL Draft is brought to you by MyBookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. Use that promo code Locked On at MyBookie.ag. Trev,
you saved yourself there.
I know. How many times have I messed up the day of the week since we've been doing this podcast together?
I think only like two or three, but there have been, yeah, like two.
It's been
like,
at least. It's been, yeah, there's been some egregious times. We have talked about now, I think, a good bit of college football prospects that are projecting to be rookies next year, maybe on the defensive side of the ball. We haven't talked a lot about the rookies in the NFL currently that we scouted when we first, you know, took over this podcast together and talked about what we thought these guys would be. And it's way too early to draw any definitive conclusions for sure on these guys, but we'll take some early W's and some early L's within the context of knowing that a lot can change, a lot will change, and a lot probably should change for a lot of these players moving forward. But based on what we've seen so far, which we're six games in for most of these guys now, there have been some very clear takeaways from a secondary that we both thought was pretty loaded going into this past year's class. There have been some dominant performances from rookies so far, some guys that have really showed out. I don't know that anyone in this class, you know, offense, defense, whatever, is playing as well as Marshawn Lattimore has played for the Saints. He's been an absolute stud for New Orleans this season. He's barely given up anything in his zones, according to Pro Football Focus's statistics. He has defensed five passes. He's knocked him down. He picked off his first NFL pass and returned it for a touchdown the other day. He's forced a fumble. He's been very, very active in run support. When I've watched him, I've been incredibly impressed. These Ohio State kids, man, I know you've been impressed with Malik Hooker. Garen Conley's only gotten to play a little bit, but he looked like the Raiders' best corner when he was healthy. Now yeah. I'm not sure what his status will be for the rest of the season, but if he can get healthy, they could have three legitimate studs that came in the first round from Ohio State in this past class.
Yeah, man. Marshawn Lattimore, I mean, when you and I were at the Combine and just getting to see him there, you look at the size, the build, the speed, the everything. Marshawn Lynch had it all. And so that's
Marshawn Lynch.
Oh, sorry. Well, I mean, yeah, when we were at the Combine, you know, 10 years ago or whatnot. I'm just kidding. I do that. I've done that so many times with Marshawn Lattimore. I'm just so used to saying Marshawn Lynch. I wonder if they both like Skittles.
We should have asked him at the Combine. You asked a lot of those types of questions. That's
yeah,
a very
here's the
question for you.
Hey, Marshawn, I'm an idiot, and I sometimes say Marshawn Lynch when I mean you. I'm just wondering, like, do you like Skittles too?
So wasn't that Tack McKinley that likes Skittles? Didn't he tell you he liked Skittles or something? And
I don't remember.
You asked Tack McKinley something about
I talked to Tack McKinley about Top Ramen, like ramen noodles.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, it was ramen. Okay, yeah, that's right. I forgot. Yeah. For some reason, I thought
and
it was Skittles.
Yeah, guys, if you don't know, Tack McKinley, like Top Ramen connoisseur.
Yes.
Like enthusiast. Mm-hmm. Knows all the flavors offhand, can give you his top three, no doubt. So, yeah, if you ever want to talk Top Ramen, just tweet Tack McKinley. Anyways, Marshawn Lattimore. Very good corner. Yeah, he just has basically everything you would want athletically.
He does, yeah. And he was surprisingly polished, I thought. Press technique, size, speed, athleticism, he had all that. But surprisingly polished in technique, I thought, for a one-year starter at Ohio State. And the other thing that always impressed me, he's so physical in run support, so active in run support. he just played with such a confidence to his game, and I think that's just so crucial for playing corner, especially early success in the NFL. Lattimore just displayed that all the time when I watched him in college, and then when you interview him, it's the same thing. And when you watch him in college, I mean, in the NFL now, it's so important. I mean, look at the best corners around the league: Jalen Ramsey, Marcus Peters. I mean, these guys are not only do they have similar physical prototypes to Lattimore, but they're just incredibly confident in what they do. I think it bodes really well for their success as well.
No, I'm with you. Normally, you have to, when you're looking at cornerbacks, they're either super fast or they're super strong. Like, you know, like normally if you have fast guys, they're not great in run support. Or if you have great run support guys, they're not fast enough to play outside corner by themselves. Marshawn Lattimore seems like he is all of that. Mm-hmm. It is so rare to be this good as a rookie corner.
Yeah.
And you know, we saw that, like, for example, like with Vernon Hargrave last year. We've seen it, you know, with Eli Apple with some of the struggles that he's had. And even Jalen Ramsey, kind of, you know, I know he was on and off with the way he was playing, but like this year he's taken a huge leap, and that's a lot of fun to watch. But it's just so hard for corners to have such success in their rookie years. So what he is doing, what Marshawn Lattimore is doing, is extremely impressive.
And it's really not only just Lattimore at the cornerback position. Tre'Davious White from Buffalo, been absolutely outstanding. I mean, this dude has 12 passes defensed. We're only 6 games into the season.
You know what that tells you? You know what that tells you? That's the Vernon Hargraves, where last year they go, hey, look, they have a rookie cornerback who's a starter. Let's throw the ball to him. Mm-hmm. And he's just batting everything away. Because last year, Hargraves, and I do have some thoughts about Hargraves, and we can get to that in a little bit. But, you know, Hargraves had the most targets, most catches, and most yards given up for any corner in the NFL, not just rookie corners. And that's because, you know, you got Brent Grimes on one side and you got a rookie on the other. Who are you going to target? Yeah, you're going to target the rookie. Mm-hmm. And so that's the thing with White. And that's, you know, stats are tough for defensive players because a lot of what they do does not show up on the stat sheet. But when you are a rookie corner, how many passes defended that you have is a good sign. That's a really good sign. Mm-hmm. Even more so than, you know, veteran corners who might be having the same kind of year production, whatever. But for Tre'White to have that many passes defended already, what are we, like 6 weeks in the season?
Yeah.
That's great for him.
He's been very good statistic. AJ Green got him on one play, and that's the only touchdown he's given up all season long, and I think that was the big play that he's really given up this year. You know, you're going to get got by AJ Green as a rookie. Like, just going to happen. Yes. But he has been – he's only been targeted, according to Pro Football Focus, with their edge account, which you can win a chance – you can get a chance to win if you guys go to our iTunes page, leave us a review and a rating, and include your Twitter handle, and you could be entered a chance to win Pro Football Focus's awesome edge subscription, which has all kinds of cool stats and other information. Tre'Davious White has been targeted 33 times. Now, he's given up some catches, but it's been a lot of underneath stuff. There hasn't been a lot of vertical stuff down the field. He bounced back from, I thought his roughest performance was against Cincinnati, bounced back from that and has played really, really well. I just think that this guy has a chance to be a shutdown corner. You know, I was talking to some people who cover the Bills, and they were just saying how just wild they are with him early on, because he's been so good. And he's been so aggressive closing on the football, making plays on the ball, showing off ball skills back to the ball, you know, when it's in front of him. It just been all around a really impressive start for him. So great for Tre'White, great for Marshawn Lattimore. Those two guys off to great starts. Rasul Douglas has been a little bit up and down for Philly, but he's doing what he did in college, which is get picks and make turnover-worthy plays. He gets his hand a lot of balls. He's second in rookie corners with 8 passes defensed and 2 interceptions. And remember, Sidney Jones still has to come back from injury for the Eagles. It probably won't happen this season. Mm-hmm. And Ronald Darby, they traded for, and he is coming back this season from injury. The Eagles are sitting pretty right now in an NFC that's kind of crumbling and falling apart. I mean, Packers losing Aaron Rodgers, and the Eagles sitting pretty, and they are still going to get some guys back, I think, as well. So look out for Philadelphia this season. They've got corners that can turn you over, and even though Douglas will give up a play here and there, he's been making plays on the ball, and Jordan Lewis for Dallas, same thing, making plays on the ball. He's got a pick. He's knocked down 6 passes. Yes, he gave up the touchdown to Devontae Adams, but that's a really, really difficult play, and he'd made it the play before. that's a really, really tough spot. That ball was played perfectly. It's almost impossible for him to defend that. I thought he was great throughout that game against Green Bay, against the best quarterback in the NFL. I think he has really great promise for the future as well. So it's been an impressive start for the rookie cornerback class. The one guy who seems to be struggling some, not, I shouldn't say just one guy, because I'm sure others are that are escaping me right now, but Adoree Jackson's had some ups and downs. Last night, I watched him. I thought early in the game, he looked a little overwhelmed, but he bounced back and made some nice plays in the second half. And from what I hear talking to people, it's just been kind of a mixed bag. Like, he hasn't been bad, but he will get beat. Then he'll come back and make a play. It's kind of how he was in college. It's not overly concerning for a rookie, really, at this point. I think he has really great traits, and he's a great competitor. I think he's going to get it. I think it's going to click. I expected him to be more raw than guys like Trey White and Lattimore and Conley and some of those others starting out, though. So this isn't overly surprising me. I forget, where were you on Adoree pre-draft? Were you a big fan or no?
Yeah, I liked Adoree Jackson. I didn't like him. I will say that I didn't like him for a long time. And not that when I say I didn't like, I don't mean that I thought he was going to be terrible.
You hated him.
Terrible. But you hated him. Yeah. has wonderful hair, but anyways, I was worried that there wasn't going to be enough physicality from him, just because, you know, we're talking about a USC kid who was also a track star. So it's like, you got to focus that into what you do. And then you also play one of the flashy positions in football. So I did worry about the physicality part once he got to the NFL, but, and I also worried about how refined he truly was, going into the NFL and what his learning curve would be like. But then kind of near the end of the scouting cycle, I kind of looked at things a little bit different. I saw the things that he did well, and I considered the timeline, I guess, of when he was playing football to when he was focused on other things. And I kind of got on the other side of it, and I realized, man, you know, if this kid really hasn't even devoted fully to football yet, and he is showing certain little things like this and this and getting better certain techniques every year. Because I went back and I watched a couple of his game tapes from years prior too, to see how well he had gotten better every year with the limited amount of time that he had to get better. And I actually kind of turned over a new leaf, and I got towards the, yeah, Adoree Jackson, I guess, is worth a top 50 pick for sure. But I was like, I'd be okay with a team taking him end of the first round, early second round. I thought that he could be that. And so his struggles early on in the NFL definitely don't surprise me. Being a rookie starting cornerback in the NFL, other than quarterback, is, I think, the hardest thing that you can ask.
It's very difficult. I mean,
because you are learning. Because, I mean, like, think about it. In today's age of NFL, where there's so many spread out offenses, you could have some coaches that, like, think that putting you at nickel corner is like a warm up to you being a outside corner, which means, okay, first you have to learn how to play nickel corner. And now if you're a nickel corner, you're a mismatch guy. Okay. So you're going up against tight ends. You're going up against running backs. You're going up against slot receivers, these shifty guys. These aren't your like normal wide receivers. Teams are normally trying to put their biggest mismatch players in the slot. So now you're learning how to play a nickel corner position, which you probably haven't played for a couple of years because you were good enough to play outside corner in college. You go to learn a different position in the NFL against some tough assignments, and then all of a sudden, if you're playing well or if there's an injury on the outside or whatever it is, then they're going to shift you outside, and it's like you have to learn NFL technique and how to face NFL receivers as an outside corner. Man, it's – I think Michael Kiss said this once, and this has stuck with me the whole time. It's like drinking water through a fire hose is if you are a starting rookie corner. There's just so much to take in. When you started that position. So, you kind of got to praise the plays that Adoree makes as an outside corner a little more than you take away from the plays that he gives up, just because you have to have that reality in the back of your mind, and that this is such a difficult position to play as a rookie.
Yeah, it's been really fun to watch this class, because I think they've very much lived up to the billing, and I think Adoree will as well. You know, I didn't think he should have gone above Trey White. I didn't think he should. I mean, Garen Conley, the off the field stuff, you can't really. I don't know where Tennessee was at on that. So I thought he went a little bit early, but I still think he can develop into a good player. I think a mid to late second round grade on him. I think I sold out pretty good hope for his future, and I think he's coming along nicely. You know, when you start a podcast like this, Trevor, people always ask for advice. They hear that you're in the NFL. They always want to know what team to bet on this week. Patriots or Steelers, Chicago or Detroit, maybe a little Raiders or Chiefs action for Thursday night. Well, let me tell you guys this. Where you're betting at is just as important as who you're betting on. That's why we always tell people to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been in this business for years, and their rep is rock solid. They do 100% cash bonuses, so off the bat, you're making money for doing nothing. And they have the fastest payouts, seriously, just 2 business days. You know who's going to win, right? So lay down some cash and win big today. We would only recommend a service to our listeners that's been good to us, those that we know, and other listeners especially who have sounded off about the awesome products over at MyBookie. That's why we're urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and an all-new mobile site that is incredibly well-designed and makes wagering on the go a breeze. Make sure you guys check that out. Really cool stuff there from their all-new mobile site. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 100% bonus. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Trev, we didn't even mention him, but Cordray Tankersley's also been really good. Not sure where you were on him pre-draft. I don't remember us discussing him a whole lot. I had a third-round grade on him. When I went back over his tape, wasn't super impressed, but I thought that he had the skills and the right scheme. If he was just in a press zone scheme, if he could just get on guys at the line of scrimmage, I thought he could be a productive starter in the NFL. Boom, he lands in Miami, perfect scheme fit for him, and he's playing well. So I think he was the one that knocked the ball loose from Austin Hooper to force the interception that ended the game and Miami's great comeback over Atlanta on Sunday. So he's played really well. Desmond King over with the Chargers, I know you like the little Des King. He's played well from everything that I've seen live from those that I've seen discuss him. So it's been a fun start for this cornerback class. We haven't mentioned Marlon Humphrey. I watched him against Pittsburgh. I thought he really struggled in that game. Others have said he's really developing nicely and coming along, which I expected him kind of to get torched as a rookie, even though I really liked him. So good. That's good. I mean, he landed in a good spot in Baltimore, I think, to develop his skills. I say that a little bit hesitantly because they have struggled to develop a couple guys recently in the secondary, but I still think that Harbaugh knows what he's doing with that position for sure. I mean, that's kind of where his roots come from, and I think that he has a good shot to last there as long as that staff stays in place. Safety position, Malik Hooker was up. And did you watch last night's game?
I did not get to watch. I was watching some of the highlights. I follow any game that I don't watch, though. Basically, I kind of follow on Twitter.com. Mm-hmm. Not sure if you guys have ever heard of it. It's an app that you can download, and you can also use it on your desktop. It's pretty good for news and stuff. But any game that I don't get to watch live, I am following pretty much by the play on Twitter. And so when Malik Hooker was doing his thing, people were tagging me in some stuff. And on the one play that he broke up in the end zone, I think it was on Delaney Walker, yeah, right, where he just basically reaches up in one hand and knocks it away from him. Somebody tweeted at me and said, somebody check on at Tampa Bay Tracy. So my boy.
Yeah, Hooker has been impressive. There's been some up and down moments. He missed a couple tackles last night. I know we've talked about that at length and how if he makes those plays. If he makes those plays in the back end, we can live with it a little bit.
I mean, there's no debate about it, John. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's already better than Ed Reed.
Right, 100%. For sure. For sure. Steeler fan here will agree.
Yeah, better than Ed Reed. better safety than Troy Polamalu as well. Glad you brought that up. Thank you.
There was always going to be ups and downs with Malik Hooker early on, I think. I mean, even if you liked him, you knew there were times where he gambled and he bid and, you know, he took some chances, but he's a playmaker and that's already shown up, I think, consistently. It's just been, I mean, the safety class is very similar, I think, to the cornerback class. It's been a really good start for the safety class. I mean, I definitely think that Jamal Adams and Marcus May have had their ups and downs, but sure. You know, Jamal Adams has been, he was asked to cover Gronk for a lot of that game 101, and I know he wasn't always successful, but he made some plays too. He got rocked with a terrible pass interference penalty, which I thought he had beautiful coverage on Gronk. I think he fell down on one of Gronk's touchdowns. He actually undercut the ball, and I think it would add an interception, and he like slipped or tripped and fell down, and Gronk was able to make the catch, and then I think he scored on that play. May has also been a little bit all over the place. I think May's been actually pretty consistent from what I've seen. And I wasn't a big May guy going in, but I think he's been pretty solid so far for the Jets. They both got beat up a little bit in that Patriots game, though. They had their hands full in that game, which you expect.
Well, it was the Patriots, so.
Yeah, exactly. So it's been an impressive start for those guys, I think. Marcus Williams for the Saints has done some good things, still tackling a concern, I think, but I've been able to watch a good bit of him. One guy that's been a total surprise to me, Monte Nicholson from Washington. And not because he did. I don't know if you watched him.
Somebody talked to me about him during the pre-draft process. And asked me what I thought of Monte Nicholson and like where he was going to go. And I was like, dude, I don't even know if Monte Nicholson is like a starter in the NFL. So
well, he was horrible in call. I mean, his game against Penn State, one of the worst games I've ever seen from a safety prospect.
He had some really not good tape.
Yeah.
And here he's falling out. So what do you know?
Fourth round pick. I was like, boo, that's high. But he at least had the size and the athleticism. I was like, maybe he can develop into a special teamer. I've heard he's done really well. I haven't seen one second of him play at Washington. I'm not going to lie. Most of the other guys I've talked about, I've seen at least a game or part of a game or a good bit of. But I haven't seen anything of Monte Nicholson. I've just heard people talking about how well he's played. And he's coming off shoulder surgery, I think, that in the offseason. And so, I don't know. It's encouraging for Washington because they really need a safety. I mean, think about what they've gone through with safeties. Remember a couple years ago, Kyshawn Jarrett? They drafted him. He's a late-round pick. He looked great his rookie year. He's from Virginia Tech. I loved him coming out.
That was a fake name.
He started. No, it's real name. Swear. He was a beast too. I had like a third round grade on him, a second or third round grade on him. He was drafted late. He played. He was great his rookie year. He was a fan favorite. Then he got hurt and his career ended the next offseason. I forget what the injury even was, but it was a career ending injury. And he was forced to retire. And then Sue Cravens, they drafted, and he steps away from the team may not play football.
Not.
Yeah. So it's like this team has just had the worst luck with safeties. They had to make D'Angelo Hall a safety for years now. And now they finally get another one in Nicholson who looks like who looks good so far, who's played a great role there. I think they have to be really pleased with coming away with that type of player for a fourth-round pick, at least the way that it looks right now. So It's been a fun start for the secondary class. It's been really everything that we hoped it would be, I think. I think that while there's some complaints, and maybe we'll talk about the other positional groups moving forward, I can get the defensive tackle class wasn't great coming out. The interior D-line class wasn't great coming out. Hasn't been great or overwhelming to start the season. Edge defender group has been a mixed bag. Miles Garrett, Carl Lawson clearly leading the way, but after that, it's dropped off a lot of part-time players, some mixed production, I think, from those guys so far. But, that was always going to be a group to me that was coming along slowly. Linebackers had some guys flash. But the secondary has been, to me, one of the most impressive early season groups. Because, like you said, not only have they been good, but it's one of the hardest positions to come out and play early on well. Mm-hmm. And I think this group has done a fantastic job. And we've probably left off a couple names. I know we didn't talk about Justin Evans. I don't know if you had some hashtag thoughts on Justin Evans, but
not really yet because he just started his first two games, the last two games. So right. I mean, we'll wait. We'll give it a couple of weeks when we talk about defensive guys next. We'll be able to really talk about him. So
yeah. So we didn't take too many big W's there. Maybe a tiny little L with Adoree, but I think that for the most part our projections were fairly square to where this class is.
How did we take an L with Adoree?
Well. Because I kind of defended the pick, but I still think he's coming along. So, yeah, you're right.
He's fine.
Yeah,
he's fine.
Yeah.
You're not handing out wins and losses.
I'm handing out L's to you right now.
Well, I mean, like, I get a W for Malik Hooker, but go on.
I get a W for Trey White. You get a W for Malik Hooker. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, all right. We could go with that.
That's fair. I can't believe you didn't try and take a W on Marcus May. I thought I was going to bring up Marcus May, and you were just going to be like, "Oh my gosh, he's been amazing, Florida."
Well, the problem with me and Marcus May is that I watched him start his first year in 2012, I think 2013, maybe. Mm-hmm. I think it was I can't remember which one it was, but it was whatever year that Florida played Miami. And one of the first games that he played, that he started in, he got absolutely torched by Philip Dorsett. And I had that image in my head for the next 3 years that he played for Florida, of just him getting torched by Philip Dorsett. And so he did not really shake that until his senior year, when all of a sudden people went, holy crap, Marcus May is a real safety now. And that came on so quick and so surprising for a lot of UF fans that it was even, you know, it was even surprising for me, because I watched him to start. Like, he sucked to start. And when you, the first thing that you see of guys is where you lay a foundation. So that will always weigh heavily more in your mind until more time passes. So I always thought in the back of my head, like, yeah, sure, that was a nice play by Marcus May, but I mean, like, he's not that good. And then all of a sudden, you know, here he is his senior year, and he's playing consistent and great and making, doing good things in open space and reading zones and passes and cutting things off and having a ton of interceptions and all this. And so Marcus May being good is a, it's a new thing for me. That's why, like, I can't really claim I'm super happy for him, because not just because he's a Florida dude, but because I watched him be terrible early on. And a lot of times when you're terrible as a defensive back, sometimes it can ruin your confidence for forever. But Marcus May got over it, and he's playing really well, and so he's playing some of his best football in the NFL. So that's awesome for him.
Yeah, absolutely. This episode of Locked On NFL Draft brought to you by MyBookie.ag. Get into all the action with MyBookie.ag, where they will match your deposit with up to a 100% bonus. Use the promo code Locked On to activate that offer. Guys, it's been real. We'll be back tomorrow. We've got more great football talk for you throughout the rest of the week. Until then, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.